it's amazing the social enterprises that women are involved in. You know, it's really humbling to hear their stories and where their own personal experiences have helped them on this journey.
Welcome to the From Passion to Action podcast, a discussion about social innovation and social entrepreneurship from Dublin City University. I'm Dr. Eimear Níomhráidí.
I'm Donica Kinlan.
And I'm Mita Power. In this series, we talk to academic experts in social innovation and entrepreneurship, social entrepreneurs who have founded their own social enterprises, and community organizations that are contributing to meaningful social change.
The aim of these conversations is to delve into the concepts of social innovation and entrepreneurship in theory and in practice, to discuss why they are important in today's society, and above all, to explore ways to embed these concepts in higher education across different disciplines.
The From Passion to Action project is based at Dublin City University and funded by the National Forum for the Enhancement of Teaching and Learning in Higher Education. We hope that you enjoy sharing these materials as well with your colleagues and with your students.
Today, we are in conversation with Dr. Marie Taylor. Marie is a senior project officer in the development unit at Limerick Institute of Technology. Her work at the development unit focuses on social enterprise and rural development. The development unit also promotes postgraduate research, and Marie is a supervisor to students in the area of social enterprise. He is also a lecturer in tourism and Irish heritage at Limerick Institute of Technology. Marie's PhD research examined the relationship between heritage tourism and community development. She has worked on a variety of projects focused on social innovation and entrepreneurship, including the MWASE project, an Erasmus Plus funded project that aims to increase employment prospects of women from ethnic minority backgrounds via social enterprise. She is currently involved in an Erasmus Plus KA2 funded project called Social Bee, which aims to develop and pilot learning resources to support individual and organizational learning and network development in the field of social enterprise. Marie is a member of the Social Economy Research Network of Ireland, and she is on the Department of Rural and Community Development Social Enterprise HEI Network.
You're very welcome to the podcast today, Marie. Thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for inviting me to be a guest. It's a wonderful opportunity to have, so thank you for that.
It's our pleasure. So to begin, we always ask the guests the same three questions. So the first question is, what is the first word that you think of when you hear the concepts social innovation and social entrepreneurship?
Okay, well, I suppose social innovation, I think of ideas, and I think of a new way of thinking, a new way of thinking about social issues, about environmental issues, and a new way of addressing them, maybe using new business models, etc., in order to be more sustainable and in order to have benefits to the wider community and society. When I think of social innovation, I think of ideas or solutions that create a social value and meet the needs of society, for example, community development, innovation. So it's new solutions that are meeting the needs of a problem or an issue in society, and I suppose how they can have measurable impacts on a community or on a society. And then in terms of social entrepreneurship, I suppose social entrepreneurship and social enterprise can sometimes, those terms can often be interchangeable, but I think of social entrepreneurship as a process of entrepreneurship that is aimed at creating positive social or environmental impacts, and can take place through multiple stakeholders, individuals, groups, institutions, etc. Whereas a social enterprise, then I see more as a formal entity, a formal organization that has a strong social or environmental mission or motivation, and with its own governance structure, etc. Yeah, social enterprise I see as an initiative that has a social issue, a social objective, that is using different forms, maybe of economic organization, whether it's a combination of volunteers or grants or commercial activity through sales of goods or services, etc., using that to fulfill a social objective, setting up as a commercial activity in order to address its objectives, its social and or environmental objectives.
Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. Just the way you said the innovation would make you think more so of ideas and new ways of thinking. And then the social entrepreneurship aspect is more about processes. And it reflects actually quite closely with our project, which is from passion to action. So nearly the passion in line with the ideas, and then the action is actually that process of bringing it to an entity that has a social impact.
Yes, actually, very good way of looking at it. I love the title of it as well. Well done on that.
I can't take any credit for that. That is Dr. Imrani Brodick, who is the PI of this project. But yeah, no, I agree. It's a lovely way of, and just a very effective way, I think, of summing up the whole process from the idea, from the social passion, into actually having that outcome and that social impact. So our second question is, I guess, exploring your understanding of social innovation and social entrepreneurship, which you've touched on and explained in depth. But I guess, how would you maybe go about explaining the concepts to people that had never come across them before?
I suppose in terms of social innovation, it's that idea. Think of social entrepreneurs. We think of the people who come up with these ideas or who initiate these ideas. So they look at achieving new or innovative ways of tackling societal problems or issues. So they want to transform society, operating a different organizational entity. You know, still want to make a profit because it still has to be sustainable at the end of the day, but that profit goes back into the local community or goes back to tackle a social issue or to tackle an environmental issue. So those social entrepreneurs are the ones with the ideas that they have the social innovation, or they can have the social innovation that is needed. And whereas social enterprise then is that I suppose that formal entity or that formal organization that puts those ideas into process, into interaction. So it is looking at enterprises that, again, have to make a profit. It's not that they're they can be non-for-profit, but they not necessarily. They can also be for-profit organizations that are looking at fulfilling a social need or and have a social value in their mission. So they want to give back to society, or they can see an issue that needs addressing in society and they want to give back. So it's that different way of looking at things and at how to solve societal issues.
Okay, perfect. And then our third question, I guess, in the introduction questions is, why do you think social innovation and social entrepreneurship are important in today's society?
Gosh, where do you start and where do you end? Social enterprise, and I think we can see this in the fact that, you know, the social economy is increasing and that it's getting increasing recognition, both nationally and also European-wide. So we can see how important the social economy is. I suppose social enterprises, they just by the very nature, they are inclusive. They enable marginalized groups or disadvantaged locations to develop the capacity to not only create wealth in order to be sustainable and to develop themselves, but also by their very action and impact, they are promoting social inclusion, civic engagement, participation in society. And I think in very recent times, because as a result of COVID-19 and the restrictions and the lockdown that has been in place, it has really highlighted how vulnerable individuals can be, and also how societies and economies can be very vulnerable. And I think it's called for a rethink of how reorganize economies and organize societies or social activities. For example, there's been a recent OECD report just last year, and it's, you know, claiming that the social economy sector has been more impacted than commercial activity, because social economy by its very nature can have limited cash reserves, limited skill sets, might have an over-reliance on volunteers, etc., or have difficulties in accessing government funding, so that they're having more of an been more impacted by COVID-19. But however, you also have social economies spinning out as a result of COVID-19, and existing social enterprises that are innovating rapidly and transforming, adjusting to the needs that have arisen out of the COVID-19 restrictions. So, but I think we saw as well that people realized the importance of society as a result of COVID-19, and have seen how our actions can impact on society and on the environment, etc. So I think COVID-19 actually will see us turning more towards this social enterprise model as a solution, or another solution to society issues. So I think that that social enterprise more than ever is going to be needed. And we saw that during the last recession, that social enterprises actually helped us in some aspects get out of recession or emerge from recession. We saw that, you know, people go back to basics, you know, back to the community groups, the root organizations, etc. And I think we might have that again as a result of COVID, that looking back at the basics and that bottom-up approach to solutions, and social enterprises can really help in that process.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely shown to be the case during COVID, is that bottom-up approach and that real, you know, as they were calling it, the metal, that Irish word for kind of community spirit and community collaboration. And that seems to really be an interesting kind of nearly fuel or energy for realizing the role that social entrepreneurship can play in society.
And I think we have such a history of it ourselves in Ireland, mm-hmm. that, you know, starting back from the cooperative movement and Horace Plunkett, and all the way through our, you know, the different organizations, you know, that have emerged from community groups, and even, you know, the Fada Dyers and the Fada Hazes in societies that saw a need in their parishes and brought the parish together and promoted basic skill sets or basic industries, and got the economy and the local economy going again. And I think that's where we will turn to again in looking at COVID-19 and how we can get through society, get through the COVID-19 impacts. And I think that's one of the things, the beauty of Irish the society, is that we do turn to each other and come together and collaborate and help each other through. So hopefully that will be the same again this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just turning to, I suppose, your own background and what brought you to social entrepreneurship and social innovation. Can you tell us a little bit about your own professional background and how that developed your own interest, I guess, in this area?
I actually come from a background of tourism and community development. So I did my PhD with LIT, and I looked at specifically at the area of how heritage tourism can be a catalyst for community development. And while doing the research for PhD, I had a number of case studies that were social enterprises. So there were community groups that in the tourism sector, but they were social enterprises. And I also came across a number of community groups, especially that weren't calling themselves social enterprise, but could very easily be termed social enterprises. So that got me interested in that area of, first of all, community groups and community organizations, but also then stemming out of that, the whole area of social enterprise, how that is gaining momentum and gaining popularity, and looking at that and seeing how it can not just be beneficial in the tourism area, but also beneficial in other areas in society, like the arts and culture area, or in the old age care, etc., and special needs, etc. So, and looking out, living in the area for the Ballyhara region. So Ballyhara Local Development Company will be very strong in this area. And they have a number of social enterprises that I would have become involved in, kind of on the edges of, for a number of years, in terms of tourism and cultural heritage, etc. So I suppose I was looking at social enterprise more and more as a result of my PhD studies. And then got the opportunity to work as a project officer with the development unit in LIT. And my area of focus as a project officer is actually in rural development, and stemming out of that then is social enterprise as well.
I think that's really interesting what you mentioned, that within, when working, I suppose, in this circle of, or in this field of community development, that there were social enterprises who didn't even identify or wouldn't have seen themselves as social enterprises. And do you feel bringing that knowledge to communities and bringing even that terminology and is a way to increase their output or even their outreach, I guess, and their opportunities to avail of funding and or support, things like that?
Exactly, because so often they don't know that they can qualify for a certain funding. And especially now that we have our own national social enterprise policy in place in Ireland, that has actually meant there's a momentum now, and there's also much more opportunity as a result of that policy being put in place in terms of access to funding, etc. So that, you know, if this can open up more opportunities for such organizations or for such groups, if they knew they could avail of it, to know that they can qualify as a social enterprise. Because I suppose that's the huge question really, is what is a social enterprise, you know, and trying to find a common definition across Europe about what is a social enterprise is very difficult. And I suppose we're fortunate in Ireland now that we have a definition that we, in our policy, that we can turn to. And that I suppose as that policy has been implemented more and more, that the criteria will be set in place then as to what is and what is not a social enterprise, that will become more clear. So I think that will just be of benefit to community groups and to all types of organisations that could benefit from social enterprise funding, but also the network that is out there as well, not just in terms of financial support, but also just in terms of mentorship or peer mentoring, etc. That's invaluable as well. And we're lucky, we're fortunate in Ireland to have a number of those types of social enterprise entities or groups that can give peer support to other social enterprises and give that networking opportunity as well, which is so important.
And I think, the national social enterprise policy is, I think for me, one of the most valuable things is that core aim within the policy of actually developing awareness of social enterprise, and that it's different to a charity. It's different from a for-profit enterprise. It is a self-sustaining trading organization, but that the profits kind of are centered back into the community and are based on social impact. So I think for me that awareness raising is such an integral part of the policy as well.
Definitely. And we see that in one of the main pillars of the policy is that increased awareness. So and I think that's so important. And, you know, when you look at other countries, I suppose Scotland is one of the leading countries in the world, you know, in terms of social enterprise, and how they have integrated social enterprise all the way through the education process. So children that are, you know, in preschool all the way up to college have an exposure or an appreciation of social enterprise. And I think then that is reflected when you see how successful social enterprise is in Scotland and the one of the leading countries in the world in terms of social enterprise. So I think that stems from that increased awareness that they have integrated all the way through the whole education process as well.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then I guess on the topic of education, I'd love to explore a bit about your work in LIT. And I was wondering, first of all, could you tell me a bit about the development unit that you're a member of within LIT?
Lovely. Okay, so in LIT, we have the RDI, which is the Research and Development and Innovation section, and I'm part of the DU, which is the Development Unit. So we're dedicated to implementing LIT's vision of supporting individuals and companies and industries in the Midwest. So in order to achieve social, economic and environmental changes. And we do this through applying our expertise in a collaborative manner. So in the DU, we focus on a number of main areas, such as sustainability, energy, climate action, and of course, rural development and social enterprise. And we have particular strength in securing funding from a number of European programs, such as Erasmus Plus, Horizon 2020, Interreg, etc. And we work both as coordinators of projects and also as project partners. Actually, we have in the Thurles campus, there's a new Sustainable Development Research Institute. So we've developed a new Sustainable Development Research Institute, and that has been established to deliver on LIT's ambition to be a regional leader in the field of sustainability and tying in with the UN Sustainable Development Goals. And obviously, social enterprise fits perfectly with all of the Sustainable Development Goals. It's a lovely fit for the social enterprise and the new Social Development Research Institute. Also, just as an aside, I don't know if many people might be aware, but there's a new technical university now that LIT has amalgamated with Athlone Institute of Technology. This is going to drive the new research and development agenda within the Shannon region. And the DU has been highlighted as being one of the main contributors to the Technical University's vision of supporting the social and economic and environmental development within the region. So we're very excited about that as well.
Okay, and I'm interested as well, you mentioned, you know, that the development unit works on so many different aspects, you know, as well as social entrepreneurship and social enterprise. There's climate action, there's energy, there's rural development. And I was wondering, is there ever overlap, I suppose, between social entrepreneurship and these other units or aspects of work within the development unit?
I think more and more so now as we're progressing. For example, we've been working on a number of proposals together. I've been working on them with colleagues of mine, looking at environmental action and social enterprise, and also looking at arts and culture and social enterprise as well. One of the main projects we're working on in terms of young people is Fulham. So that's FOLM, from outdoors to labour market. And that's looking at getting young people, 18 to 29 year olds, back into employment or education through outdoor learning. And again, I have a number of examples of social enterprises that can avail of this project and that would be beneficial to the project. We are seeing more and more, and again, in terms of energy projects, a lot, there's an increasing number of social enterprises that are energy based, and community projects, etc., that are energy based, and that we would work closely with. For example, the Tipperary Energy Agency would be a social enterprise that we would work very closely with as well. We also work closely with communities creating jobs. And we also work closely, for example, with Dunhill Eco Centre down in Morsford and Sennancook. So there's a number of areas that we can overlap, but also help and through collaboration and developing our networks. We can see that just getting stronger and stronger into the future.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I like the way you said more and more, you know, that it's a kind of a continual process. And it sounds like as social enterprise, I suppose, develops, as you mentioned at the beginning, nationally and on an EU level, it's always an evolving concept. And there's always kind of exploration around where social entrepreneurship can be embedded, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're very excited about that as well, in terms of how we can develop also with our other colleagues in the academic side of LIT, because at the moment the social enterprise isn't really a developed course, and it's just maybe a module or a part of a course. So we're working closely now with the academic side as well, so that we can integrate a lot of our projects more and more into the academic side, because a lot of our projects would result in learning resources and learning modules and units. And they're like a library, you could say, of coursework that's there and, you know, ready to be used by academics. And for example, we have Sedesh was one of our social enterprise projects that was looking at social enterprise development in education and training tools. So there's a lot of work there that can be used. SESBA was social enterprise skills for business advisors. Intense was about internationalizing trading for social enterprise, sustainability and education. So again, they're projects that we have worked on in the past, that some of the measurable outcomes were learning resources, and they can be used by the academic side of the higher education institutes.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned briefly some of the projects you've worked on, and there are two, I suppose, given the short space of time, I would love to spend, I'd say we could get about 3 hours talking about some of the projects that LID have been involved in. But I suppose in this podcast, I'd love to focus in on two, and they're the MWASE project and Social B.
So firstly, there's the MWASE project, which is about empowering women of ethnic minority to increase their employment prospects through social innovation and social entrepreneurship. Can you speak a bit more about that project?
Again, social enterprises are all about inclusiveness, and this is a fantastic example of this. So, as you rightly said, MWASE stands for empowering women from ethnic minorities through social enterprise. So it's aiming at increasing the employability of women from ethnic minorities by providing them with the knowledge, skills and competencies that would be needed, you know, those practical skills that would be needed for engaging in social enterprises. Part of that project then was taking on board some of the barriers and obstacles that this very specific group would face. So they, for example, would maybe have working conditions, skills gaps, cultural obstacles, and, you know, things that you mightn't even think of. For example, not having a family network to fall back on in terms of, you know, for childcare, etc., and not having that support system in place. And also looking at barriers such as the obvious one being the language barrier of the host country that they come to, not having the efficient language skills. And looking at those barriers and obstacles and identifying how women can overcome those obstacles. We surveyed women from ethnic minorities that work in or manage social enterprises. And we also surveyed the organizations or the experts, as we call them, those support groups that would help this cohort of women. And as a result of those survey results, we developed a number of learning resources. So we have modules that are available on the MWASE website that can be accessed by anyone, by the women themselves or by education institutes or organizations who want to support these women. So we have modules on, for example, an introduction to social enterprise, how to start your own business, how to run a business, marketing and communication, funding, networking, sustainability, all of the hot topics, you could say. These modules then would have quizzes and practical exercises, links to websites or to TED Talks, etc. We also developed a storytelling library of success stories. And I think this was fantastic because this is women themselves talking about their experiences. And I think this is really motivating for other women in a similar situation who might be thinking of starting out in a social enterprise or maybe not even know what a social enterprise is and is just looking to see what can she do. And that this is an opportunity for that woman to hear from other women, their journey and what motivated them in the first place to start a social enterprise and maybe what are the barriers or obstacles that they came up against. How do they overcome them? And I think because it's such a positive story as well, because these are all success stories, it's really motivating for other women to hear. There were 7 partner countries in this project. Ourselves, Italy, Turkey, Greece, Germany, Lithuania, and the UK. So each of those 7 countries would have 5 videos. These library of success stories are... They're about maybe 4 to 6 minutes of a video of the woman talking about herself and her social enterprise. And it comes with a transcript as well of the interview. So each country would have about 5 of these. So you have a library of maybe about 35 video interviews of women talking about their success stories across Europe. So it's fantastic that anywhere in the world, a woman can go onto the website and go into this library and click on somebody from Ireland talking about their social enterprise or somebody from Lithuania or from Greece, etc. So it's a fantastic and it's amazing the social enterprises that women are involved in. You know, it's really humbling to hear their stories and where their own personal experiences have helped them on this journey. And for example, Tulawani, one of the Irish women, she spoke about that triple disadvantage that she had. She was a woman, she was Black, and she was from a developing country in Africa. So she called that her triple disadvantage. But she was turning that around and changing the narrative and making it into an advantage. And, you know, so seeing herself being a woman and being Black and being from an African nation has been empowering and has been something to be proud of. And, you know, that if people didn't invite her to the table to talk, then she was going to create her own table and start the process there. So, you know, really inspiring to hear how women have changed their own narrative, their own story. You know, the Corinne is in down in Waterford. She's helping women and young girls who have been abused, and so getting access to schools, etc., to share her story and her experiences to help other women and other girls in that situation as well. So the 5 interviews from Ireland, I'm not being biased, but I would definitely recommend everybody to listen to, because they really are inspiring women. And it's amazing how we don't know what's going on sometimes in our own country. The powerful women that are here and that are working for others. And so it's fantastic stories to listen to. That's Imrose. I can give you the details of the website. And so I would definitely recommend for people to look at. The other project then that I'm involved with in at the moment is Social Bee. And Social Bee is a collaboration between 8 partners from 4 countries. So ourselves and Ballyhara Development in Ireland. And we also have partners from social enterprises and from training and education sectors in Greece, Slovenia, and Italy. Social Bee is running from January 2020 until December 2022. So it's a 3-year project. And its resulting aim is to develop learning units that will stimulate changes in the Higher Education Institute curriculum and VET training programs by integrating a learner-centered approach orientated to real problem solving and skills acquisition in the field of social entrepreneurship. So Social Bee is a knowledge alliance project and funded with the support of the European Commission. Its aim is to design and develop and pilot an accessible suite of learning resources to support individual learning and organizational learning and network development in the field of social enterprise. So we're designing and developing content for 24 learning units, six modules with 24 learning units. And they're designed to address the skills gaps that have been identified in training and training needs that have been identified in key areas that are critical for the development and sustainability and expansion growth of social enterprise. So how did we identify these gaps? We completed a desktop analysis of current social enterprise education and training in Europe. We also surveyed and interviewed a number of social enterprise support and also support institutions, education institutes, etc. And we performed a skills and training needs analysis and social enterprise skills gaps and training needs mapping. And so that has been completed in the first year. And that information, the results of those reports are available now on the Social Bee website. And we also have an interactive map with all the institutes, all the educational institutes that took part across Europe. We have an interactive map showing their details and their program details, etc., as well, available on the website. So now the next step that we're involved in is commencing the development of these learning units and module content. And so at the end of it, what we hope is that social enterprises will have what social enterprises need will be included. So, for example, the module areas that we're looking at are an introduction to social entrepreneurship, project design and management, human resource management, social impact assessment, finance and economic sustainability of social enterprises. So that social enterprises, the modules are aimed both at undergraduates and also at social enterprise practitioners, and that they will have a grasp of management and organizational capabilities and also personal development and professional development towards sustainability and HR management, etc., networking, growth strategies, etc., all really with a focus on growth and sustainability in the social enterprise area. So these modules will be offered at an EQF level 6. So as I say, these will be piloted towards the end of this year and also the beginning of next year, and then become more widely available after that.
I suppose as someone with so much experience in social entrepreneurship, both teaching and training and academically in terms of conducting research, what advice would you give to higher level educators who would like to implement social entrepreneurship in their teaching?
One of the areas I think that for improvement is the need to work more closely with researchers, for example, like ourselves. As I said previously, we have a lot of learning resources available, and you know that just because a project ends, that doesn't mean that that information should be put on a shelf. That information is there and widely available, and we'd be more than happy to share or for educators to access the material. And again, also to look at working more closely with social enterprises themselves. You know, the DU is all about problem solving, real life problem solving. And, you know, what better way than to maybe get students to work on a real life problem issue with a social enterprise, and, you know, that immersive education that they will have a better grasp then of not only what a social enterprise is about, but also some of the difficulties that social enterprises come up against. For example, governance structures, funding restrictions, etc. That, you know, to experience it in real life is much makes more of an impact than just learning the theory in the classroom. So, you know, to look at that and see how maybe more immersive education in terms of, you know, co-op opportunities or to engage more with social enterprises. You know, social enterprises will always welcome those extra pair of hands or that extra thinking to work out real life problems and how to solve them. I think that would be a great to see that collaboration increasing.
What advice would you give to students then who would like to pursue a career in social entrepreneurship and social impact?
I think that, you know, well done, first of all, for being aware of this area and for thinking how, you know, I think if you're looking at social enterprise and social innovation, etc., you're really coming from an aspect of how can I give back to society and, you know, what difference can I make to society or to my community? And that's a lovely aspect or a way of thinking to have. And to develop that more and don't, you know, not to get lost or bogged down with academia, et cetera, but to always come back to that core issue of why do I want to make a difference or what difference do I want to make? How do I want to give back to society? And I think to have a look and see the various different organizations, structures, governance, et cetera, that is out there. And be able to, you know, compare, contrast, critique, etc. Because sometimes our experience is coming from our own personal experience that we had maybe in a local community group, etc. I mean, we've all grown up with the GA, etc. So has that made an impression on my experience? Can I reach out and see other experiences? You know, there's so many different aspects to social enterprise now that and new ones emerging all the time. For example, in the DU, we also look at social farming. And we have a number of social farming projects, Fakura being one of them. And that, again, is a fantastic way of looking and seeing how you can give back to society. You know, and social farming, again, is on the increase and knowledge and awareness around social farming is increasing. And so it's not always sometimes the business orientated, you know, that social enterprises can come in different guises and to always be open minded to that. And so I think, yeah, that there's lots of opportunities out there. One of the results of COVID-19 has actually, from talking to community groups, has been the increase of young people participating in community groups and community organizations. Because previous to this, you know, they were always too busy or they were working and they had to come home and young families to look after, etc. So they didn't have the time to go to the local community hall, etc. Whereas now when everything is so accessible online, they have the opportunity and more time in order to partake or engage with their local community. So I think that's something for young people to also be aware of is, you know, to engage with the local community groups, etc., because they're the best experience that you will get, and not to be afraid to, you know, be part of the committees, etc., because that gives you a fantastic experience of what it is like to be one in an organization like that. And so that's hands-on practical experience is invaluable.
No, that makes total sense. And then my final question is, what do you think are the benefits of embedding social innovation and social entrepreneurship into different curricula across disciplines in higher education?
Gosh, there's so many benefits, because that's one of the things that we in the development unit and in the new Sustainable Development Research Institute are looking at as well, is this cross-disciplinary cooperation and collaboration. Because otherwise we tend to pigeonhole ourselves into, right, your social enterprise, your energy, you know, and never meet. And that's not, you know, that's not the way it is in real life. That, as we talked about earlier, that there is that overlap or that crossover between different sectors. So that just because you're taking an environmental program in college doesn't mean that you should never be aware of social enterprises, because there are a lot of social enterprises in the environmental field. Also, you know, social care, you know, social care isn't just social workers or things like that. It can expand, and social enterprises can be part of that course and part of that narrative. And also business courses. You know, it's amazing the number of business courses that don't talk about social enterprise. You know, it's almost seen as, you know, that's, you know, going down the road of a charity. No, it's not. You know, a social enterprise is a type of an enterprise in itself. It's, you know, has to make a profit. So, but yet it's not, that perception is there that, you know, it's not that, that's over in the social sector. So it's looking at and seeing and embracing social enterprise across all disciplines throughout the level, and to make people more aware of social enterprise, social innovation, etc. Because otherwise we can, you know, have these different silos going on in an institution. For example, there's higher education institutes in England that are social enterprises themselves. You know, so is that the way of the future? How can we incorporate social enterprises more and more onto our campus, etc.? So to be open to those possibilities and not to pigeonhole ourselves into different sectors. And the only way we can do that is by raising awareness, by talking, by discussing, by becoming part of projects with each other, research projects, etc. And working together. So I think that's so important, that cross collaboration.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. That's all the questions that I have today. I really appreciate you joining and the conversation. It was so interesting to learn about the different projects, about your own background. So thank you so much for joining us.
Lovely. And thank you again for the opportunity. And as I say, if anybody has any questions or would like to contact us, the details are there. And we are more than happy to talk to anybody or to discuss the projects further with anybody. So thank you.
Perfect. Thanks so much. And thanks to everyone for tuning in and listening to the From Passion to Action podcast.
Thank you for listening to the From Passion to Action podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Marie's work on social enterprise at LIT, you can visit the development unit's website at lit.ie/RDI/development.